views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You know that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wells right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wells. You can catch me every Monday, as you know, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And tonight we have back a special guest that was on our show a couple weeks ago. Hopefully you have looked at the podcast with Dr. Marcus Betstein. If you haven't, that's part one. Go back and watch it. Today's part two of the stress mess, adrenaline and cortisol, friend or foe. We're going to get deeper into that. And I wanted to let you know, Dr. Marcus Betstein, he is a funny guy. Last time we were on the show, you had... What the heck is that mule mug? What's that called? I have a mule mug.
Oh, yes.
What do you got for a mug?
This is for mojitos. That's why the dead dead Mexican mosquito, right?
You got a dead. Oh, I get you. You got that. I've got a Stay Magical. See, this is my mug tonight. Mm-hmm. Love it, right? Mm-hmm. Going to drink some decaf. It's Coach Couch and Coffee, so I have to have my coffee. So you guys, tonight we're talking about, again, stress. If you followed me over the month, we have talked about Stress Awareness Month. That's what April is. I mean, we worry about stress enough that we had to assign a full month to it, really. But that's what April is.
It's not enough.
We've got 11 other months of it.
Yeah.
So what we have been talking, kind of taking a twist this month, but Dr. Betstein was with us. He gave us a great overview of stress, kind of the definition of it. I would like to introduce him again, reintroduce. Dr. Marcus Betstein was born and raised in Germany. He graduated from Ross University School of Medicine and came to the U.S. in 1989. He started his first endocrinology practice on the East Coast in 1995. He then moved to Grand Junction, Colorado, very different worlds, in 2009, and he started a full-time endocrinology practice, which is still a very busy practice today. He loves the outdoors, skiing, has three amazing children, couple of dogs. How do I know all this, Marcus? How do I know all these things about you?
You're giving my life away here.
It's all a big secret.
And so this in front of the world audience.
You're touching many lives tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
So Marcus and I go way back. April, actually, it's funny that it's this month, is our 10 years we've known each other. I was his office manager for his endocrinology clinic in Grand Junction 10 years ago. And so we have been together for quite some time. We've remained friends and stayed in touch. He's a very smart man, fun to be around. So tonight, he's going to give us a quick refresher on the different levels of stress and, you know, definition of stress again, for those of you who are listening in for the first time, which again, I encourage you to go back to the first part one, but we're going to talk about the different levels tonight. We're also going to talk about different examples of how the body reacts. Then we're going to talk about ways that we can try to identify some flags, fix it, reverse this thing. It's very exciting stuff that we've uncovered here. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. And you're excited about where we're headed. I know that. So welcome. And what have you got to add to our anniversary month?
Goodness, boy, do I know what we have to add here?
I mean, you're going to say anything about me? I mean, this could be bad. We worked together at the pilot study we did in the Diabetes Center of Excellence. We worked
together.
You had great success when we were working out together.
I tell you, yes. And I'm still sore that you left, because since then we haven't been moving very far, you know? I mean, it was so much more exciting. Anyways, I must say that from back then when we did that, you know, our little group there and went through boot camp kind of thing, mm-hmm. As a result of that, I lost the 40 pounds that I wanted to lose. And I have to still thank you to this day for getting me there. I mean, it's really... That was very nice. It was fantastic. Right. Thanks.
Well, you have to put in the work, but yes, we did a little pilot program together. So it was fantastic.
I think with you in the background, I had no choice.
I know. I was at work. What are you eating for lunch? How many preservatives does that have? It was interesting. Well, and what's funny about that is I remember you and I used to have conversations about how sad it is that physicians truly don't get enough education on nutrition. And we would have conversations and how unfortunate, especially, I mean, if you think about, you've always had an interest in it, but you're an endocrinologist. I mean, you're metabolism, you're a thyroidologist and diabetes. And it's unfortunate that, I mean, we have to eat, that we didn't get more education even as youngster.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate. All right. So you're going to be the man of the half hour.
Oh my goodness.
So take us back a little bit on how you are kind of bringing it down so we can all understand on the different levels of stress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, just to make stress a concept that I understand, I put it into these three phases, where the acute phase is actually very short, minutes to hours. That is your fight and flight response. That's our stress reaction typically. And last week we talked about how the body actually makes that happen. And that gives you a good clue as to why all these negative things start cropping up if the stress persists. So after the acute phase comes the chronic phase. In the first part of the chronic phase, the body is trying to reestablish normal despite this stress. And that creates a lot of changes. And that's when our health starts failing. And then we have the burnout phase of chronic stress. And that's when you get diabetes, hypertension, all the bad players.
Yeah. You know, when you were sharing that, when we were together a couple of weeks ago, lose track, today's the 29th, 2 weeks ago already, the 15th. I love how you always break it down. And so that, I mean, when we were chatting about that, it's like, you're always curious. You're always learning. That's what we should be doing in the world today. But the way that you broke it down was helpful even for me to go, wow, acute, you know, the adrenaline phase, the acute stress, if it lasts much more than a day,
minutes to hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we're going into potentially a chronic phase, which is then a resistance phase, which is then no wonder our body is trying to cope. And we can't get the weight off even with eating well and exercising, as we said.
So most people, you know, they're working so hard on the diet and the exercise, and then they give up because it's also stressful not to lose weight when you're putting all that energy into it, right? So it is one of those things that people have to be aware of. These are the pitfalls. If you're starting to try and turn this around, this is what you're going to experience because your body's not ready for it. You have to try and figure out, first of all, in which kind of a phase you are, and then you can address that so that you don't, like some people, you know, their New Year's resolution, you know, they go out there and then all of a sudden they hurt themselves because they aren't, their body is just not ready for that because they've been deconditioned for such a long period
of time.
That's right. So knowledge in that regard is protecting you from falling off the bandwagon and getting yourself out of this mess.
Yeah? Exactly. You know, it's coming to the realization, I think, almost backing into it, coming back around the other way, where it's like having the client that comes to you, the patient that comes to you, and you say, okay, let's start with stress. Then we're going to get to eating and exercise. Because, I mean, obviously we have to eat well, you know, duh. We're going to talk about that and how you believe we can really conquer this stress thing. But we are going to have stress. I use a little bit of a metaphor and I call it the roller coaster of life, RCL. And we're not that special. I mean, crap is going to happen to all of us. There are going to be great days. We're at the top. Things feel fantastic. Our guard goes down. We've got this. And then bam, you know, it comes down and all the whole world falls apart. And if you can't cope really well with stress, it's that, oh my gosh, I got a flat tire again. The kids are throwing up. Here we go. And you stay there versus that resiliency that can bring you up and go, damn, it's just another day. Let's get out of this. We're going to recover from this. So,
well, my favorite new thing is the stuff that we talked in detail the last meeting is that, you know, when you grow brain cells with acute stress, you should make that a way of getting yourself out of that negative thinking. Start thinking about it. Hey, this is helping. This is going to be great.
Well, and can't you consider a new workout, just a change? Getting out of the comfort zone is an acute stress. I mean, if you haven't lifted for a long period of time and you hit the gym gradually, baby steps, not kill yourself, it's a good acute stress that the body will adapt to. And we don't want to chronically be lifting, you know, 200 pounds every hour, but it's a great way to look at it and not just think you're waiting for your motivation to show up in an email somewhere. It's not gonna just take it. Today, what I thought we would go into is, again, when we look at acute stress, I think you call it, I'm trying to remember, is it the alarm phase? I want to go through your phases and then dip into a little bit, have some dialogue on what we can do in each phase to help your patients, help my clients, help the listeners out there to figure this thing out. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So in the acute phase, you know, the alarm phase, that's the fight and flight phase. There's many names for it, but this is the phase that we are designed for. So this is supposed to get us out of trouble, and it's fast. And you gotta haul ass and you get yourself out of trouble and the problem is over. That is what this is designed for, and that is where it excels. That's the positive aspect, and that is the type of stress that actually grows those brain cells. It becomes a problem when there's prolonged stress. And the prolonged stress we mentioned last visit is anxiety, you know, that gets created. If the stress doesn't let off, then you create that anxiety, and that anxiety is perpetuating the problem. Then you slip into the chronic phase, weeks or months or years, you know.
So the alarm phase would come, and the best ways that you're recommending that we cope, you know, we cope with it or get started on that is, some of it makes sense. The exercise, you know, eating well, food is fuel. So
diet, exercise, and sleep. I always think about threes, you know, everything comes like the Holy Trinity. Anyways, so if you're talking about the diet, it's quite important. You know, people say, oh, what do you mean? And I'm going to have to eat food that doesn't taste good. Well, the background of that is a little bit deeper. I don't know if lots of the listeners have heard of our biome, which is basically bacteria that live inside our gut. And they are part of our community, unfortunately. When we eat wrong stuff, we do stress that population out. And guess what? They release those stress hormones. They get absorbed by us, and we are stressed out from the microbiome that's in our body. So food is a very important player here. And that's, by the way, they have figured out by feeding bacon, I think, to medical students.
checking all these
inflammatory markers and everything else, and they realize there is a direct correlation. You eat bad food, you're going to get stressed out, period. So good food, very important.
And there are so many, you know, listeners out there, you guys look for good sources. There are so many nutrition plans that can help you remove foods that cause inflammation. There are good foods out there that can decrease some inflammation. I'm not saying you have to go on a plant-based diet. You can do things very baby step, but there are some power foods out there. Food is fuel. So I agree with you, Dr. Vetstein, 1,000,000%. Let's dive into number two, which obviously is exercise, even if walking, right? So talk to us about that with the alarm phase.
You know, in the alarm phase, everything goes. You are not having any adverse effects from that stress just yet. So you can do stress relief. Most people say, hey, burn it off, you know, run around the block and you will feel better because you just worked that stuff out of your system. So that is very nice and easy for people that are in that acute phase. If you get them early enough, you can really make them work their stress out and compensate for it with heavy exercise even. You know, you can do whatever you want and it will work.
Absolutely. And, you know, even getting outside and getting 5 minutes of sunshine right here, walking around the block and just, you know, if you haven't done that, you guys, baby steps count. Everything makes a difference to just to do something to break that up. I mean, this doesn't have to be so complex.
Well, you know, I think in the chronic phase, when you're in that resistance phase that we talked about, the body is trying to recover from the stress and be normal again. All the organs want their food supply. The adrenaline and the cortisol are still around because you're stressed. So the body has to compensate for all of this. This is when you have less energy available for exercise. Exactly. And this type of phase, you're going to have to get into something a little bit more modest and check out if your body tolerates that. That's where the walking and maybe Tai Chi or yoga or these type of things come in that are less impact rich, less draining on the body, because you got not much to spare anymore now, you know?
And I see that I'm sorry. I was
no,
just
no, you're
thinking,
fine. Go ahead.
This is what we do, you guys. We get so excited, Dr. Yeah. and I. You should see us. We can cover a million subjects in 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. So when we go through the acute phase, the alarm phase, so we're going to eat well. Food is fuel. We're going to move. Make sense. Number three, we're going to sleep.
Sleep. I forgot
right?
about that.
Yeah, my favorite friend. I struggle with it, you know, and I'm always giving, everybody's tips are different. You know, you look at how does caffeine affect you? Dial it back. Do you need them, you know, infused? I mean, the diffuser is going in. Do you need some lavender? Do you need, it doesn't matter what it is. We've got to figure out how to protect that sleep. You know, I use an eye mask. I've got some Bose silencer things. I mean, because sleep, if I don't sleep, it's migraines. It's not, I got to heal. So big deal.
It is.
I'm thinking
true.
Sleep yes, we need yes. to have in there. Yeah.
And you know, even when you're stressed, even if you have what is, you know, a target would be 8 hours. If you're stressed, you might have 8 hours, but their quality is not so good.
I agree.
And so you still can fall behind despite sleeping a lot, maybe even all 8 hours every night, you know, and still you can't get there because your body is keeping you in an alert phase. You never get that, those different sleep phases, you know, you need them all.
And it's interesting to try to fabric or, you know, weave these things together for people sometimes, because they can't directly jump sometimes that you ran through McDonald's. You know, and it's not just that it was a comfort food. It's much bigger than that. It can go all the way to affecting your sleep that night. And if you know, it's just all weaved together. So
absolutely.
If we think about the chronic phase and we add those things, so stop me if I'm wrong. So we've got the exercise, we've got the nutrition, we've got the exercise, and then we've got the sleep, of course. Then with chronic, we need to do some of the things that people just are kind of a little bit resistant to. My clients are still a little resistant to yoga and meditation and Tai Chi. I've got to get them, I'm going to make them do challenge. You know how I am. Like, well, if you don't do it, you're going to have to do homework. But it's serious.
Yeah, let me tell you, especially when we're talking about meditation, I do that in the, you know, people think, you know, you have to sit in the lotus position and be quiet and wait for something to happen or whatever.
Right.
No, you know, I've been doing things like, for instance, go to gong sessions. And you lie down and you listen to somebody banging on a gong. That is a very relaxing thing. Singing bowls. You know, all kinds of activities that get you to meditate. And meditation is basically anything that eases your mind, that takes the stress off of you, that is basically relaxing you. That is what the idea of meditation is, of any variety. I can meditate driving 4 hours to Denver.
Right.
You know, that's not a problem. But it will give your body and your mind a chance to rest. And that's what you need to do. And if you're in that burnout phase, that might as well be what you have to do first.
Right.
Because you can injure yourself because you're so torn down. You know, maybe you have diabetes. Maybe you have hypertension.
That's right.
Cannot go out there and bench press when you have hypertension.
You know, I love that you brought this up, because that's what I'll see all the time too. You know, you get to the place where you're working with people and they are chronic and they are resistant. Okay. And then all of a sudden they get that doctor note that says, if you don't lose that 40 pounds, or they'll come to me and say, I've had it. I put that weight on again. But what do? They don't start out by walking. They remember when they were 50 pounds heavier and they could do 5Ks, and that's where the injuries come in. And you're right. Then we're back at the beginning, depressed. And
then it's, you know, that is a good indicator that that particular person is regarding the exercise as a chore. Let's get it over with. We have to go in there and do our workout so that we get better. Well, you're stressing yourself out doing that.
No, that's right.
That's not going to be working for you.
You know?
Gotta be honest with yourself and say, hey, I've been a couch potato. I've neglected myself. Let's try and see what my body says if I do a little bit of something, and then we can go from there. You know? No weekend warrior.
We don't listen to our bodies. When I was talking in the last show that we were on about red flags, and everybody's red flags are different. Yeah. And I use myself as probably the best example to not share any information with from others. But the main thing that I see for myself is I'll start working really, really long hours. I start skipping meals. My sleep is affected. Then my migraines come. But one of the most important things I've noticed since I left Colorado, when I left you, is that I realized that I live where I want to live. I look at the ocean every day. I look at the palm trees. And when I don't get outside, which is why I moved here, then I know that's one of my red flags that I'm not taking care of myself. Because I do yoga and I do meditate, and it's hard for me to do that.
How long did it take you to figure that out?
I honestly didn't start meditating till last year. You know me. I never meditated to yoga. I wanted to stab myself if I had to, because I'm a to-do list girl.
At the end of the day, right? That's why I'm so surprised, that you turned the corner like this.
Only a year ago, and I still struggle, and it helps me so much, and it's still difficult for me because I just couldn't see the result quick enough because we're taught with exercise, oh, go do this and this will happen, you know, even with strength. So I'm like, I'm laying here and I'm thinking, and I couldn't. I was like, I'm thinking of something I got to go do. I mean, I had to start by taking notes, Marcus. Notes that when I would lay there and I would think of something, I had a notepad and I'd write it down. Then I'd lay down. Then I'd go, oh my gosh, I got to call him. And that was about 2 or 3 weeks before I stopped taking notes while I'm meditating.
That's funny.
Shut me up.
But that's most people go through that part. Yes. When the mind is so busy that you realize that you don't really meditate, you're thinking about stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Remember that meditation, the idea is to shut off that brain and just let it relax for a little while. And the problem with, you know, you're a type A personality.
Wicked.
The problem with type A personalities is the go, go, go. You've got to push that button and try and release it a little bit, you know? And there again, it's like the weekend warrior. You can't do this in one day like you do.
No.
You give yourself small little routine things that you add into your life, and you wind up all in a sudden reaping the benefit. Your body will tell you that, hey, this is a good thing. And all in a sudden, you're going to say, wow, I'm feeling better. You know
what I like about what you've taught us, though, and it has flipped my brain around literally as well, because I love to be in the cute phase. I love the mania of it. I like the crisis of it. I like to operate in the 11th hour, but then I get chronic and it catches up and I don't see it. You know, the older you get, the more you see it and the more you suffer from it. But what I like about what you have said are those little things that you can do to back it up, right? Because the acute phase builds brain cells. I don't want to be acute every hour of the day, you know, jumping off a cliff to build brain cells. But to back that up and to know that I can save some brain cells, be able to think more clearly, because that happens too. You know, the middle of the day when you're not thinking very clearly. So again, what you would stress out, obviously, stress out. Here we go.
We know
to eat more healthy. We get that. We know to move more. We get that. And sleep is always, we've always said those three things, but what we're really saying, you're a Western medicine guy with Eastern medicine. We're bringing these together, you guys out there. The main thing is we got to chill. Even if we get out of our desk, sitting in the chair is the new smoking, right?
Yeah.
All day long.
You know, people just have to listen to their body. That's the thing. Our body is a very super high-tech, smart thing that is, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's baffling to see how it works and how fantastic it is. And here we are, you know, throwing it in the wind. I mean, what's the chance? Look at how, what's the chance of our existence in the first place? Now we're talking a little bit outside the realm. You know what I'm saying?
Listen to
you,
Bob.
Grateful.
Yeah.
Also, be grateful that you're here. What's the chance for that happening? I mean, come on. You know? And that's the next phase, by the way. If you're being grateful,
you're starting to have
a positive attitude.
Yeah.
And a positive attitude will, you know, extinguish stressors.
That's right.
You can't be stressed and positive at the same time.
No, well, stop being stressful.
There's probably somebody who can say, yes, there is some examples. But, you know, generally speaking, it doesn't go together.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm got to have you back. I got to have you back. You guys, this has been an honor to have Dr. Marcus Vetstein here with us today, endocrinologist, talking about the stress mess. And I really, really do encourage you guys to listen to your own red flags and let's try to back this up. Baby steps matter. Just chill, man. We need to chill out. So any final thoughts that you have for us tonight?
Yeah. You know, I would say that we can basically throw out there that honestly, at this point in time, we are a stressed out nation. The whole nation is stressed out. And we're giving each other a hard time. And so I find that hopefully through this session here between us, we've been guiding some sort of a way out of this mess.
Yeah.
We have to be less critical with each other and we have to be grateful about living.
Okay? I love that. Yeah.
Those two would get us into a healing phase. Not just our bodies, but the whole country.
I agree.
Wouldn't that be a nice thing? So, sorry.
Oh, my God. No, don't ever be sorry. You guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, I love it. When I get back to Grand Junction, we're going to go for a hike. We're going to go eat a good salad, and I'm sure you'll have a beer because you're from Germany. Why not? Hey, beer is okay. We do it in moderation. No, but anyways, you guys, I want to say you can find me at 3wellnesspillars.com. You can get on there, have a fantastic time. You can reach me at Coach Peggy at 3wellnesspillars.com. I am going to see you next Monday, May 6th. I'm going to see you then. We're going to talk about boundaries and determining your personal red flags. We've talked about that a little bit tonight. So we can keep you on your wellness wagon. I'm going to open up the phone lines. So thanks again, everybody, for joining us. You take care. See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.